He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin. This is Car Keys.
I would like to start out this week's show by saying that I watched Elon Musk on Saturday Night Live over this last weekend, and while I was not particularly impressed with his lines and all that, he was trying to be funny. The interesting thing about it were the ads of the electric cars that were advertised on Saturday Night Live did not include Tesla, but it did include Lucid, which I'll come back to in 30 seconds or so, as well as the Volkswagen ID.4 and the Ford E-Mac Mustang. And I like those ads, actually, quite frankly, but it's really more to the point of the electric cars are surging towards the public in the United States as far as and the world as fast as the automakers can start publicizing them. Back to the Lucid, the interesting thing about the Lucid ad was, actually, I thought what I could see of it was a pretty attractive vehicle, but the most compelling part of the ad was the 500-plus mile range that it was going to be touting for. I don't know whether it will be at the base price of $71,400, which I briefly saw flashed on the screen, or you will have to buy an extra large battery pack to get that theoretical 500-plus miles. But if that is really true, it's going to put a lot of pressure on Tesla and the others to up their mileage or up their battery capacities, either at the base levels or for something not exceeding a whole lot of extra money, so that their vehicles can get this 300-plus or 400-plus mile ratings to get the public to be confident that they can, you know, even if they think they're only going to drive 100 miles a day, get confident that the electric cars are really a suitable alternative for long travel alternatives, that is, purchase option, not to mention the price situation, which Jay will bring up most likely. They are expensive. I think they've got to figure out also how to sell these electric cars without incentives, because the incentives really only benefit the very wealthy anyways, I think. And they're all in the 40,000 and up range, I think, maybe with the exception of the Bolt. Jay?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, let's go back to the I'll address each one of these points. You didn't see any Tesla ads, did you?
No.
For a very simple reason that Tesla does not
advertise,
and it is mind-boggling to me that they have managed to sell this many cars without ever producing an ad, whether a print ad, a TV ad. There's just no advertising. So Elon Musk is the poster boy for Tesla, with all of his faults. I don't think he's a funny guy. I don't think he ever means to be funny. So I missed the SNL episode, but it must have been interesting, for sure.
Well, I think it gathered a lot of probably nationwide viewing, if only because of his name.
Of course.
He was in several skits, all made up, but you could tell it was he if you knew what his, you know, how he looked and how he speaks and all that.
Yeah, and I could pretty much.
But those were all taped.
It's about Dogecoin. We can move on. It's just it's all about the coin and the token. That's what I was trying to. It's a hustle.
Yes, we've talked about Lucid. It's another high-end electric car and car company. And yes, it's coming out in the foreseeable future. And yes, the 500-mile range version. I believe I haven't looked at their specs or their site in recent weeks, but I believe that it's going to take over $100,000 to get the 500-mile-plus range. Range is always an issue, more here than in Europe. Europe has a bunch of smaller electric vehicles that have been flooding the market with much lower range options. But, you know, you travel less in Europe because everything is more concentrated. So, yes, range is always going to be an issue here. It's interesting to note that, you know, Tesla, the Model S, the production of which has been delayed for some time now, the revamped Model S will have an option with over 500 miles. We'll have several options with over 500 mile range. They will also be expensive. Right now, you can get a Model S Tesla, or you will be able to in the next few weeks, a Model S with a range of over 400 miles in the $70,000-$75,000 range, which is still a lot of money. Back to tax
benefits,
incentives. I think there is a political will right now to have these tax cuts, credits, be available, split over several years. So that will benefit people who are buying, people with lower income buying cars that are maybe in the $30,000-$40,000 range as opposed to $60,000-$70,000 range. And that tax break will be able to be split over several years. So I think those issues are being addressed. Now we can discuss the political angle of, tax breaks for a particular type of vehicle, but, you know, that's neither here nor there.
I don't think we need to discuss them.
No.
The other thing that I got from a friend of mine was a picture of the Tesla truck in a dealership in New York City. It was taken through a window in a showroom. I don't know whether it was a Tesla showroom or whether it was some other showroom, but it was said to be over the weekend as well. And with the comment from the person who sent it is, he can't wait to get one. I don't know what's going to drive the interest in it, except the exclusivity of style and everything else that goes along with the Tesla vehicles. But it was quite a picture. I don't know whether it was a drivable version or whether it was a
cardboard mock-up.
Cardboard mock-up.
There have been plenty of those, including lawnmowers. I think the Tesla truck is, the Cybertruck is still the one vehicle in the Tesla lineup that I'm not so sure about. And, you know, I'll probably end up will be proven wrong. But that brings me to the Rivian lineup, which
yes.
Rivian is going to start both their SUV, the sale of their SUV and their truck this summer.
I think it's been delayed, Jay, a little bit, but yes, eventually this year, late this year, if not this summer.
Late summer, I think first deliveries is what I read. But there is a delivery time already. I think if you order a Rivian now, trucks will be, you will be slotted for a January 2022 delivery date. So I think Rivian is real. They're well funded. I think they just bought a Mitsubishi production site, I think, in Michigan, which is a huge factory, which they're retrofitting to produce this truck and this SUV. And interestingly, I think I just read that they are building a huge solar canopy to charge the vehicles as they get off the production line. So, which brings us
to... Well, that's interesting. I think Rivian's going to be a very big contender. I did see the Rivian at the last auto show that we were able to attend, and I forget whether it was both the pickup and the SUV, but whatever I saw, I liked a lot, and that segues into the car show situation, because the headline in this week's Automotive News is that car shows are ready to come back in. We hope to be visible by the public this year. I certainly hope the New York Auto Show will be around. I don't think it's going to be around in the spring, but maybe in the fall. If not, 2022, because the public, according to the article, has got a pent-up demand for buying vehicles. We've discussed a little bit of it along with the production problems that the manufacturers are having due to the chip shortages. But I am one who would love to go back to an auto show and cruise around the floors looking at the vehicles and, you know, touching them with my eyes, if not my hands, to see what's coming. With all the electric vehicles coming on the market, I think there's going to be a large segment of whatever auto shows that are set up focusing on the electric vehicles that are coming as fast as the manufacturers can get them to us. For us all, for the world to see. And I think the world will want to see them close up. Certainly the teasing ads in the Saturday Night Live show over this last weekend were pretty colorful and pretty interesting to watch, and probably garnered a lot of attention, whether it's serious attention to acquire or just to know that they're coming. They were very effective in my point of view from the advertising situation. Enough on that. Jay, what do you have to say?
Well, I'm going to disagree a little bit on that, in the sense that auto shows have been struggling for the last few years around the world. The New York Auto Show, the Detroit Auto Show, the L.A. Auto Show, the major international one in Switzerland, the Geneva Auto Show, have all, you know, all the manufacturers have tiptoed around them, and some manufacturers, as you know, have pulled out of certain auto shows. And as soon as you lose one or two of the manufacturers, all of a sudden the cachet of the auto show just kind of disappears. And I think in the future, they were already struggling to as a business model, but I think with, you know, following this pandemic, which is not quite over, I think that I'm not sure there's a mindset to continue to go to these big indoor events. But, you know, hey, I could be
wrong. Well, you've got a mindset on this phone is who is really ready to go back, and we'll see whether I'm right or
I'm going to be not.
But there is no question that it is very expensive for the manufacturers to set up and take down these auto shows and move these vehicles into an urban area to get them all laid out. And there was certainly some concern that the public was losing interest in going to them, and the cost benefits were not there to keep them going. So we'll see what happens, and it doesn't matter. I'm all ready to go. So at least they'll have one person there at the auto show. Well, that's enough reason to put one up for me to go see. I doubt it.
I'm going to weigh in here. I believe that there are more Robins in this instance than. I'm just weighing in. I think people will be very happy to go touch a vehicle.
We better start a betting pool on this, because Jay's really going to like this.
No, I just think that, you know, it's going to end up being one of the unintended consequences of the pandemic, where everybody was getting so.
I want to go to Corvettes for a moment. I had a discussion with a couple of people about Corvettes, because I have seen the weather around here when it's been good, and Lime Rock Racetrack has had a couple of, I think, 2 weeks in a row they've had car events there. I have noted the number of Corvettes that have been showing up on the roads around here, but I have yet to see, and I hope Jay can tell me he has seen one on the road, the new version, the new mid-engine Corvettes driving to Lime Rock. I presume they were all going to Lime Rock, but I've seen a lot of the front engine, the standard models we all know, around, and I had a discussion with one member who has one of the older ones, and he thinks the new one is very interesting, but he does have no interest in buying it. And I think there are two sides to that show, that particular subject, just like there are two sides to most things in life. But Jay, have you seen the new ones driving around here?
I cannot recall. I'm trying to think. I don't think I have seen one locally.
I haven't either.
I've seen a real one, but I have not seen one in driving on the roads. I can't remember. And I'm sure we're starting to see them because, you know, GM is producing them as best they can, and there's a strong demand for them. But you are right, and GM has known this all along, that, you know, the faithful Corvette fans might be reluctant to, you know, embrace the mid-engine sports car concept. But
yeah. Well, I'm sure that goes for the Ford Mustang too, versus the E-Mac.
Well, that's a whole different conversation. But I think with the Corvette, I my bet is still that at some point a Corvette will come back with a second model and have a Corvette Classic, because car manufacturers tend to do that and come back with a retro idea at some point. But
well, I hope they've kept the tooling, so that can happen without a lot of extra return to
tooling
expense.
That may be for sale. For those of us who like cool cars, we all know the Lotus Elise, which was produced by Lotus in England starting somewhere around 2005, if I recall. And both the Elise and the Exige are two very pure, very light sports cars. And Lotus has ceased production of the car, or is ceasing production any time now. but they are open to the idea of selling the tooling to a you know, a coach builder or smaller manufacturer that would continue building the car, most likely sold as in a kit form, which Lotus has done with past models over the years. So it'll be interesting to follow that story for the very few of us who are really interested in that little sports car.
All right.
All right. Now, let's go to recalls for the moment, because we have blessedly been avoiding talking about recalls of vehicles, because there, quite frankly, have not been a lot of ultra-serious ones. And this one that I'm about to mention, the Ford Explorer, with 617,000 vehicles up to the 2019 model year from 2013, have got a, I don't know what they mean by roof rack covers, but they've got a problem which they've been prodded into recall 617,000 of these vehicles by the dealers to fix a supposedly separating roof rack cover. I haven't looked at a roof rack on anything, but they're all metal to me, and they all clamp down to the roofs of these vehicles coming off the assembly line. So I don't know whether the roof rack is actually the whole problem or whether there's a cover to the roof rack, but I don't think it. I guess the only problem would be if a roof rack flew off like ice flying off a roof in the wintertime and hitting a vehicle behind it. That would be the problem. It does not appear to be a, I mean, it is a safety problem in theory, but it doesn't appear to be a safety factor that has anything to do with the operation, the mechanical operation of the vehicle. No fires resulting or anything like that. But it's made the headlines, at least in Automotive News this week, and maybe it'll make the news broadcast one night this week, as they tend to do if it makes major headlines in a written periodical. That's that on the safety recall situation. I've been seeing lots of convertibles around. I want to say, I don't know what our listeners do about commenting to themselves about what they hear here, but I think Jay discussed this, and I mentioned and echoed it, that we're going to see fossil fuel vehicles around for far longer than the theoretical 2040, 2035 to 2040 years that certain manufacturers claim they're going to be well on their way, if not already completely 100%, to manufacturing electric vehicles, at least in some of the model ranges, if not the entire production options that they do, like GM has been touting, they might have done in 2035. And they've backed off that. I'm sure there was a lot of pushback from people who are in the business of commenting on manufacturers' goals about what's going to happen in the next 10 to 15, 20 years with this electric vehicle onslaught that's coming towards us. But I saw some very interesting Mustangs on the road this last weekend, and I said to myself as I watched them going by me, going in the opposite direction, you know, those vehicles are going to be collector's items if Ford stops building fossil fuel Mustangs, because they are really a great looking in some of their guises, in some of their model ranges, really wonderful looking vehicles, not to mention that they sound wonderful, and I'm sure their owners are probably not going to be electric car vehicle buyers anytime soon. Jay?
Well, I think that...
And that goes to Corvettes and a lot of other sports cars.
How about safety tips? I mean, seriously, we have a bunch of people who... if they are looking at the road, I one couldn't tell from following them.
You want to expand on that?
I'm afraid they don't listen to us enough to listen to our safety tips.
No, it's not about it's no, it's just
turn signal use.
Not just turn signal use. It's just the sort of density, because either they're lost or they're listening to a podcast, or
they're on their phones.
They're on their phones, or they're watching their GPS.
Well, if you are one of these people, listeners, please listen to us. We would like to have nobody on their phones when they're driving. We'd like to have nobody on there looking at the iPods.
It's something that Jay says a lot, though. It's just, you know, driving is actually a verb, and what we are getting is kind of programmed into is, no, you just sit in the car and let the car do it. And it actually requires a little more conscientiousness and interaction. And I just thought that's where I was going. So,
okay.
Jay?
This is very short. I don't know how much time I have for this, but I think, yes, you need to keep your eyes on the road. I think we're always doing multitasking is a myth, but we have to learn to manage the different tasks we are confronted with. Driving is like 99% of our attention should be to watching what's going on the road. Now, your eyes are moving from the front. I mean, in my case, yes, most of the time you're looking ahead, but you're also looking at your mirrors, and you have basically three mirrors in the car, one on each side, one over the top. And then what I always say is if you're navigating, you know, in traffic, it's all about situational awareness, and you should know at all times, like, when I'm driving on, let's say, 684, I know what cars are around me. If at some point in one of my mirrors, I don't see a car that I saw a few seconds before, that means it's dropped out of my sight, and that means it could very well likely be in a, what do you call
blind
it?
Blind spot.
A blind spot.
Yep.
So my eyes are moving all the time. They're mostly looking ahead, but I'm also keeping a very good picture of what's going on in back of me and around me.
Well, talking about blind spot and winding up a show, maybe the blind spot monitoring option, which should be standard and is not completely standard, I don't think yet, is one of the most important options the new cars should have on them if you're getting one, because
totally
that does the blind spot is an amazing issue with cars, and you can lose an entire tractor trailer in a blind spot in this post. What is the post right behind the driver? The C post, Jay, or what is it?
I never know what is the C post.
In any event, you can lose an entire tractor trailer, and even with a blind spot monitor, you can get into trouble. But it is a great feature of these new cars coming off the line.
Can I just ask you a question? Are people taught about are people taught about blind spots anymore? Because I realize, you know, if you don't know about that, you know, then you don't know to get it. Right. I'm not saying even to get it, to be aware that there is, just because of the way of eyes and shape, that there is such a thing as a blind spot. I mean,
there is a big thing such as blind spot, as we have talked, you know, many times on this show, and you don't know it until it's almost too late.
Well, blind spot monitor is a great new feature, and I've driven a few cars that don't have it just recently, and being used to it, you all of a sudden realize how much you miss it. The alternative to the blind spot monitor is what some cars still have, and I have that on my little Ford van, is the little square mirror.
The convex mirrors you can get.
That gives you a wider...
And you can get stick-on convex mirrors if you don't have that part. I know the Ford Transits and some of the trucks have them in the corners of their major outside mirrors on both sides of the vehicles, even when the right side is supposed to be convex already. But that does help, but you have to learn how to look at it and use it. Especially since it's only occupying a small portion of the main on the outside pillars mirrors, the rear view mirrors that you can use.
So, moral of the story: use your mirrors. That's a safety tip.
He is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys.